Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I just got some coffee from the Avoca Coffee Roasters here in Fort Worth. And I don't know how to say this. I've had this coffee before. It's phenomenal. Is it Cajamarca? Whatever. You can figure it out. You'll figure that out there. But, yeah, man, that's some awesome coffee right there.
I will not
Avoca
attempt.
Coffee Roasters in – what did you say you
– I will not attempt.
You're not a coffee guy?
Oh, no, I am a coffee guy. I will not attempt to say it on the radio because I've probably embarrassed myself enough.
I already did, so that's okay. All right, so I did want to roll through this real quick before kind of giving you all an update on kind of what's been going on around my world. It's been chaos. Some of its highs and some of its lows. We'll see how that goes. But Bill
rhymed.
Barnwell, did y'all do this yesterday? Bill Barnwell put his list out of 50, the 50 best players in every position.
No,
okay.
We did not.
Bill Barnwell throughout the he basically said, "Hey, here's who I would take for every single spot on the roster." So he did a 50 man All Pro or Pro Bowl thing basically. Hmm. And for quarterback, he rolled out Josh Allen. With Lamar Jackson being the second team guy. Running back, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry at number two. I don't want to really dive into the ones and twos and, like, upset about anything here. That's not where I'm going.
Yeah.
But I want y'all to pay attention to what I'm saying. Wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And second team would be Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, and Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas was phenomenal this year, by the way.
He was.
I was looking at numbers. And I thought, I was like, Jerry Jeudy made the Pro Bowl? And it just didn't click for me. I was like, there's more rookies I would have taken over Jerry Judy's season this year. George Kittle and Brock Bowers, Tristan Wirfs, Penei Sewell, Garrett Bowles, Lane Johnson, Joe Thuney, Quentin Nelson. The trend you're seeing on this, though, there was one Cowboy. One singular Cowboy listed on the entire thing. The entire thing, and that was CeeDee Lamb on a second-team wide receivers roster. Even Micah Parsons was considered at edge rusher, was considered in that spot, but didn't make this team. And it was, I think it was mostly because of injury there. But for this team, everything, I think, oh, I'm sorry, there was one other one. Way down at
I know
the
where you're
very
going.
Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're thinking Brandon Aubrey. He was on the second team to Chris Boswell.
I quit. I'll see you guys next
season.
It
was Kevontae Turpin was the only starter for the entire – and that's your punt returner. And that's where the conversation of is your roster good enough really has to be something that you have to look at as the GM and owner and say, am I just saying I like my guys? Am I just saying I'm sticking to my budget? Or is my roster really good enough? And when it comes to what these lists have looked like this year, you've had sporadic, yes, this guy, that guy. And I know the All-Pro or the Pro Bowl teams this year, you got five guys in. But those guys, and I know they were missing a bunch of dudes for a big part of the season. But the rest of your roster didn't even sniff any of this stuff. And that's where you're like, man, there are other rosters that have 7, 8, 9 people that are all right there on the cusp of it and really could make a play for it. Whenever you're like the Panthers or whenever you're one of those teams that's not good, then you're going, oh, man, I had one guy and it was a special teams player that was a starter. That's where the Cowboys are right now. They really have to take a long look at what their roster was this year and say, okay, did we do enough last year? No, we didn't. Did we grow enough? Because the guys that Jerry keeps pushing us is, look, we did a great job of growing players this year. Did you? Are you really think Guyton is ready to go out there and be your starting left tackle next year? Or do you think, man, we got a lot of work to do with that guy?
And even last week out in Left Bank in Fort Worth at Buffalo Wild Wings, me and CA, we talked to Jerry, and I asked him about that similar construct with the offensive lineman and Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe in specific, and he straight up said, I didn't think I was going to get this out of him, but he was like, I was out in front of my skates on those two. Like, pinning that kind of expectation on two rookies, and especially Tyler Guyton, who you knew was rough around the edges. Incredible athlete, and probably is, if I had to make any kind of bold prediction, I think he is going to be really, really good for a really, really long time, because he does have the unteachable traits. He needs to be taught the teachable stuff, which he clearly hasn't caught on to yet, which is fine because he's being asked to play a premier position on that offensive line right off the rip on a team that is almost forced to contend every single year, whether they're ready for it or not.
Yeah.
And you talk about Cooper Beebe as well. The most important position for my money outside of left tackle is that center to quarterback exchange. You're asking a lot there from a rookie, from a guy that didn't play center most of his time in college. So there's a lot of...
And he's very in charge of what happens on the guys on his on either side of him.
Yeah, making checks right at the line. Yeah, getting everybody in the right pass protection setting, you know, identifying the mic, identifying blitzes, all of that stuff. You're asking guys who have not played in the league to do a lot of things. And on top of that, you kind of start to notice that you said the guys that Jerry was pushing onto us. Think of years past. Like, who was his sweetheart on the team for the past probably two seasons? Dorrance Armstrong. You know, he really pushed, which he's having a good year over in Washington, but is he a household name?
Great backup.
Yeah, great backup. But is he an all-pro player? No. Will he ever be? Probably not. But they keep telling us, oh, man, these guys are really, really good, because they're forced to play in big-time moments when they probably aren't made for the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and they might not be there right now. They might not ever be to that point. But, you know, they got lucky with a Micah Parsons to be as talented as he was his rookie season and be that standout. And they've hit on a lot of first-round guys that have been plug and play.
Yeah.
And except, you know, Mozzie's one of those rare, Taco's one of those rare things. And everybody's like, well, they're from Michigan. And, you know, okay, whatever. But, like, they just didn't have what it took to be, I'm walking into the NFL and I'm being that dude.
Yeah.
And so now here the Cowboys are. They've been banking and holding a lot of credibility with the fan base because they've been able to hit that. And then it didn't hit this year. And now we're all kind of like, okay, what are you going to do about it? And Jerry's answer has been draft more. You know, like, that's been the basic answer is we're going to continue to draft. And it's frustrating because you're like, well, you might fail there. And Jerry's probably sitting back going, but we've been so successful at other times. That's probably what he's thinking. But, man, it's just watching other teams that have they're good at the draft part. They're good at the free agency part. They're good at building from within and all those things. And that's how they're able to build their team. And I want the Cowboys to be good in all those aspects. All right, so I wanted to kind of update. Alec, you pretty much know all of the story here, but there has been a lot going on at the house lately. Now, a couple weeks ago, I dipped out of the show a little early because I'd gotten a phone call that my grandfather was taken to the ER, and for 2 days he had not opened his eyes. He went under some medication, and then he was just not responding to anything. And so I was kind of panicking about that because this is a man who's, aside from my dad, raised me. You know, he's taught me everything I know, and he's one of the most consistent men I know. And granted, both he and my grandmother are 90 years old. They've lived very full lives. But, you know, I think it's just the separation part of it always kind of gets to you when it gets to this point, this stage in life. So when I heard that, I immediately left, went to see him at the hospital. They were like, he hasn't talked, he hasn't recognized anything, he's not moving. And I walk in and I start talking, and immediately his eyes open and he starts talking to me. And I was like, holy crap, and everybody's like shocked. But as soon as he heard my voice, now his back and forth, not so great. You could still tell he's under a lot of medication, and it just hadn't gotten out of his system. Right now, he's at an assisted living center, and he is, you know, kind of living his life there. Now, at the same time that happened, my grandmother was taken to the ER, and that's when they found out she has cancer on her spleen. And again, 90-year-old woman, but she also was the woman that helped raise me too. Whenever my whenever I graduated high school, my parents divorced, and I didn't really have a place to live because both my parents were kind of like, well, you need to get out on your own. I was like, I'm 17. My grandparents gave me some time to live with them, and they were just wonderful people. Well, the other day, I got a chance to talk to her and maybe say my last goodbyes because the doctor said it's no more than 2 weeks. It could be less, but it might not be more than two. She hadn't said a word all day. She hadn't moved. She hadn't opened her eyes all day. And I leaned in and gave her a kiss and just told her, Grandma, if this is the last time we talk, I couldn't have asked for a better grandmother than you. And she lifted her head up and gave me a kiss. And it just destroyed me, for one, because she's such a wonderful woman. And she just said that I was the best grandson, and I really appreciated that. Then it was last week, Alec, you and me and Chris Arnold were working together. We had our little Christmas break. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to work. Well, the whole time during the Christmas break, my stomach was feeling weird. I was having a pain in my side. I think I told you at one point, I said, Alec, you might need to carry the expressway because I might need to go to the restroom. And you and CA were like, don't worry about it. And I walked off and I said, I think I'm dying. And you said, no, you're not. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was Thursday night after Christmas. I wasn't feeling well. I had to go to the ER. And they are currently still trying to evaluate and figure out what exactly I'm dealing with. But basically all indications are it's something with either my pancreas, my liver, my intestines, my kidneys. So it could be any of the, or my gallbladder. The ER sent me home saying that I needed to have my gallbladder removed last week. So that was a little bit of a chaotic situation to kind of deal with. Since I've gone to doctors and specialists since then, they're like, nah, it's actually a little more of this, a little more of that. I just got a bunch of blood work back, and after the show, I'll find out more about that. Before I do that, though, on my drive home, I'm driving out to see my grandfather, and my mom asked me to talk to him and ask him if he would like to go visit my grandmother and potentially say goodbye to her. That's going to be a very tough thing today because there are a couple right there that whenever they pass, whenever one of them passes, the other one will go within minutes. It'll be a shake in the force. You know, it's one of those things where they've been that connected. Robert Earl Keen has a song, and one of the lines in the song is, just like that old whooping crane, he has one wife for all his life, and when she dies, he'll do the same. And I've always looked at them as the epitome of that line from that song. And I'm just really looking, you know, like I'm looking to try and figure out how to say this gently, but also just get the message across to them, because I don't think there is a real gentle way to do it. And then last night, I woke up around 3 in the morning because yesterday, Lucy, my daughter, she's 11, she's having some other stuff done with braces. She had 6 teeth removed. She had 2 wisdom teeth, 2 baby teeth, and 2 molars uncovered. And all day yesterday, we couldn't get the bleeding to stop on one of the sides of her mouth, so it just was bleeding all day long. And then right before bed, I don't know, I have no clue how tea bags work, but they were like, yeah, get a Lipton iced tea bag and put it in there, and it'll stop the bleeding. I was like, how does this even work? This doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But we did that, and then right before she went to bed, the bleeding had stopped.
Huh.
So she did wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she got sick from the medicine that we gave her. But here we are today. Whenever I left, she said she was feeling a lot better. And her brother bought her some Starbucks. So that was really cool of her.
Nice.
But yeah, I was just trying to, like, this break, I had plans for vacation and stuff. It didn't, I was in bed most of the last week, just kind of dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. And hopefully we can figure it out. But man, it's been a wild last 2 weeks. But again, with my grandparents, it's one of the most beautiful love stories I've ever seen. I don't think anybody in my family is still together except for them. You know, like all these aunts and uncles have been divorced, and my mom and dad divorced. There my grandparents are, is this just really cool. They work well together. So I'm hoping the best for them tonight as I get the chance to talk to him. Maybe I can take him over there. I just wanted to share that. Look, man, sometimes we peel back this curtain, have conversations with the Tolos. One of the greatest moments in my life was – when Lucy initially went through her situation, when she was first born, I didn't know how to talk about it, and we were a weekend show, and Kevin said, I think you should just say something about it. And so I talked about it on air, and so many Tolos reached out from there, and that was when I learned we were more than just a sports station, and we are actually part of people's lives, and y'all are part of our life too. So that part of exchanging that information back and forth, letting y'all know what's going on with us, you know, that way if you're out there and you're like, holy crap, Corey, I didn't realize that. Yeah, it's been a wild 2 weeks, but we're gonna get back in action. And then we got Super Bowl coming up, and we got spring training coming up, and we'll get back into hoping we get a World Series on the way, and then the draft and all that. So thank you so much for anybody that's already texted in. I really appreciate that very much. But I just wanted to kind of give a little update on what's going here. And somebody says that the tannic acid in the tea is how that happens. So thank you, dentist, who texted that in. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, let's dive into a little bit of Mavs offseason grades, but we got Masterpiece of the Week on the way next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Appreciate all the messages. Appreciate the people that reached out. Really thankful. I know people say this all the time, and it's a real interesting conversation when it comes to mental health. Whenever people are like, "Well, like there are so many other people worse off than you," and that doesn't help, you know. Sometimes,
yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times I do use that where I'm, you know, it helps keep me motivated in things. And I know my situation, even all the stuff I just have going through. Probably still, like, somebody else is dealing with a lot worse out there. And I think all the Tolos are in unison on that. We hope the best for anybody that's dealing with something tough, especially around this time of year. I know this time of year can be very tough on a lot of people. So if you need some help, reach out. You know, do that part of it. That's part for you. We do have a shout-out to my wonderful daughter, Ellie, from the 940. Ellie Grace, today is her second birthday. Mom and Dad, love you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to give a shout-out to this Bears fan we have here. His name's Mark, and he goes to school out here in Burleson.
Look at that.
And his dad is a Bears fan, and therefore he, unfortunately, had to be a Bears fan too.
Oh, man.
But he's still a cool kid. Y'all did a great job. This is a good kid right here. So nice work raising this one here. And just, you know, it's going to be a tough while.
Yeah.
You know, Caleb will eventually come around, but they're quarterback cursed. That's just the way that it is in Chicago. But it's going to be a fun – hey, at least you get DJ Moore, and you got Romo Odunze. You got some really talented players up there.
And Ben Johnson next year.
Yeah, maybe Ben Johnson is the head coach next year. So, but, yeah, man, this is one of the things we love about being out at Buffalo Wild Wings. We get to have these conversations with Tolos, get to meet people, and we love and enjoy all this stuff. So come on out and enjoy your time with us. I wanted to hit this real quick because there's some Mavs game going on tonight. Mavs getting back in action. And I saw this on ESPN. I don't know if y'all have discussed this at all, but they did grade some of the offseason moves. Have you seen the grades of the offseason moves?
I have not.
Okay.
Inform me.
You're looking at it right now over my shoulder, so now you're seeing it for the first time. I like this. Klay Thompson's sign and trade to the Mavs. ESPN gave it a original grade of a B-. And I think the original grade was obviously because he physically didn't look like the same Klay Thompson. Their new grade is now a B+. So it moved up from like an 80 to an 89.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe an 84 to an 86. Who knows exactly where they land on this. But here's what they say. They said, so far, swapping in Thompson for Derrick Jones Jr. in the Mavs starting five that reached the finals last season worked out exactly the way that they hoped. With improved shooting from Luka and Kyrie, the Mavs are scoring at a top five rate on per possession basis. And then on the defensive side, P.J. Washington and their rim protectors are handling the heavy load for that. Everybody wants them to take a load off, but, you know, it's basketball season. Their lineups with four players on the court have outscored opponents by more than 10 points per possession for 100 possessions. And that rank in the 72nd percentile defensively league-wide per cleaning glass. So they're really good at that. Thompson has willingly accepted a smaller role on offense alongside Kyrie and Luka, and that's doing well for him. They want him to build on his December shooting, 50% overall, 47% from three. They want him to get better at that. And that's how they think that he can get an A. But he needs to find his groove off the dribble from deep, a scenario in which he shot just 16% from three, 6 for 36 off the dribble. So So far, what I guess my question for you was, how have you liked the Klay Thompson addition this year?
I've liked it because I personally tried to keep my expectations as far away from the moon as I could. I think a lot of people did expect, just because, you know, household name, one of the best three-point shooters of all time is coming to town, that you were going to get like an instant offensive impact, and there was a lot to be said about his defense in the past being more towards the premier side. I thought that you were going to get an aging Klay Thompson that was definitely, as they kind of indicated in that piece, was going to allow some freer shooting for some other guys like a Kyrie Irving, like a Luka, and even in some of those non-Luka minutes that you're seeing a heavy dose of now. But when he's healthy, you're seeing like the Jaden Hardys rotating in, where they are getting more easy looks, they're getting more open looks, and they're getting more rhythm looks. And speaking of rhythm, that's where Klay Thompson has been great. They mentioned off the dribble, that's the one knock I'll give him, is that I do want to see a lot more like shot creation from him. It doesn't have to be to the level of a Kyrie or a Luka, but you don't see that a lot. It's a lot of spot up stuff, it's a lot of, you know, rhythm, one dribble, step over, three from the corner pocket, and everything's fine from there. I like that. Like, his catch and shoot is still there for me. Though it can be streaky, I still see the same Klay Thompson that I saw at Golden State. Outside of that, I think he just needs to be consistent. I don't need mega scoring nights from him. I don't need him to go out there and have a million steals in a game. I just want him to continue to fit in the flow of the offense, which at first, at the beginning of the season, it was like one game on, one game off. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they were really, really working together at first. And then, like, if, especially on back-to-backs, if he's playing a back-to-back, it seemed like that second game, there was always something that was coming up, and it was just an off night for him. But I think that ESPN piece hit the nail on the head, that off the dribble, let's see a little bit more. I don't need vintage Klay Thompson. I just need Klay Thompson. If I can get him off the dribble to look like he used to some capacity, then I think it's an A.
Yeah, that's the I think, like, my only hope and expectation is kind of what I'm getting from him, and that is when you have guys like Derrick Jones Jr., Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't like to use the word pedigree because a long time ago, Atolo yelled at me and he was like, pedigree's not what you're saying. I was like, all right, so I'll just use it as learned behavior.
It's a dog food.
Klay Thompson's learned behavior is championship basketball. He understands the proper plays to make. Can his body physically do all those things? We're seeing kind of where his limitations are, but it's the calm presence that I feel like he brings to the court that I like the most, because it was guys like Derrick Jones Jr. that were like, I either go dunk it or I don't know exactly what to do. Klay kind of knows what to do on the defensive end. He knows how to get in the way and be a problem. So he might not be the athletic freak that some of those guys were, but he fits in the role so much, so well, because of what he knows he can do. And that's what I was hoping to get from him. And you can't get that from a guy that doesn't have rings. You know, like, you can't get that from a guy that's just kind of like, he's like, I've played in the league, but I've never been a star. And this dude has been a star. He knows what it's like to be at that level. So having that trade, the sign and trade to get him, I think has been a productive effort to go after that title. Again, it's going to be later in the season before I think we get the real fruits of all that.
Yeah.
Tonight, you do have the Mavericks against the Cavaliers. They are at home. Cavaliers are a hot team this year. And it's going to be a battle back and forth in that one. Looking forward to seeing how that one goes tonight. All right, right now, though, and Kevin Walker, this is your new chance to shine. As we discussed moments ago, to never let that happen again. We'll see if it happens. It is time for Masterpiece of the Week.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, we are doing good, my man.
Just
doing
taking
good.
A load off, Kevin.
Yeah, you know what? Sorry for butchering AM on the FM. Never will happen again.
Sounds like it was on purpose. I mean, I think he was like, you know what?
I got nothing against Alex.
I think he didn't want to push the button.
Oh.
You know, because, you know.
Didn't want you to get your shine
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you see what happens when you push the button.
Yeah,
don't
no.
Push that button.
Definitely nothing against Alex. So, but without any further ado, we got some Will Chambers, some Sean and RJ, or some from Sean and RJ and Bobby. And then we got Alec and Blake filling in from this week. Who do we want to start with?
Alec, you've been here more than me this week, so I'm going to let you decide.
Huh.
Yeah, Corey doesn't have to worry about getting made fun of this week.
Yeah, that's not fair. What are we doing here?
This is one of the one times that it's ever happened.
We always pick on people who are not here, so I'm not picking myself.
Okay.
We are going to start. Give me Bobby, because I know he said some odd things during crosstalk.
Yeah, Bobby never says odd things, right?
And then he pulled it out, put it on the table, and said, "That's how."
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Bobby Belt.
Jeez. What was he? That was crosstalk yesterday. I'm trying to remember what
and
the
And see, when it comes
was.
To Bobby, I don't think he was talking about anything else.
That's probably fair.
Because there are a lot of times where you'll see texts that are like, "How did y'all let Bobby say that?"
There were some things he said in yesterday's crosstalk that I was actually scared to play.
Uh-huh.
So I thought about texting those timestamps to Kevin, but I was like, no, because then he'll get in trouble for playing that, and then I'll feel bad. You know what he was talking about? It was Lyndon B. Johnson. It was a story about his presidency.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what it was. He said, like, there was a big disagreement, and he kicked everyone out of the room except for the person that was disagreeing with him. And he basically said, "You know why I'm right? That's why."
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so, how.
That's
how.
Weird. But he did have those recordings of him saying, "Hey, I need a little more space in the inseam."
Yeah. So, and, I mean, hey, his last name fits too.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's stick with people who aren't here. Let's go over to Sean talking about one of the G-Bag guys.
Do without.
He looks like Chia Fala from the waist down.
Okay. All right. So, what
do we think? What do we think we're talking about there?
I remember the exact context.
Was that Sharif?
That was Sean.
How does he know what Chiafalo looks like from the waist down?
I want to know, too. I mean, I have no idea what they do on their weekends together.
Follow from the waist down.
Yeah, from the waist down. What he was talking about there was Blake was in with me yesterday, and he showed up in, like, the baggiest outfit ever, a super oversized hoodie and a bunch of sweats. And RJ was like, "But look at the drip of Blake here, you know?" And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "It looks like Chiafalo from the waist down." And we're all like, "What does that mean?"
I don't know either. I will tell you this. My oldest is he's wearing baggy pants.
It's
like really baggy. Yeah, and my middle kid is like, "Now I need baggy pants."
Oh,
and
no.
Kevin Walker just said that it's an in style again. I'm like, what's happened?
Not for me.
Why are we regressing to this?
I'm wearing joggers right now because, like, I don't like all the movement, you know? I like feeling nice and cozy.
Yeah, my little brother is all about the baggy clothes, and I remember when guys were trying to get 5-inch shorts. So
I still wear those during the summer, so I can't knock those.
And lastly, let's get to Blake. You know, you can always find a good clip of Blake just saying absolutely anything, and let's go over to this one.
I can't last 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm sorry about that.
He just got a girlfriend, too. This is not good.
Oh, yeah. Well, unless maybe that's the reason why. She was like, "You know what? You don't need to waste a lot of time here. You know, sometimes we're just trying to get to food." Have you ever abided by the do that first and then go out and stuff? Have you heard about this? Do that first.
No.
And then instead of, like, wasting, like, because nobody wants to go eat a bunch of, like, catfish and then go home and then try and do that, right? Because your stomach's all, you know? I mean, and so they're saying just instead do it before you go out, and then you can just enjoy the rest of the night.
But it's just like swimming. Can't you just wait a little bit? Like, isn't the drive home enough? Like, get a stick of gum, call it a day? Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not speaking from experience or anything, but, like, I figured it should be. I think that's fine.
What is
I've
your
never
experience
heard that.
There, Alec? You want to speak more about that?
I mean, I already had to tell why
Mark
I'm
sitting here.
No, I already had to speak on why I'm banned from Venmo.
Oh yeah, that was a wild
story. You want my love life now? It's not a fun story, I'll tell you that.
All right, what would you like to? Oh, did you have another one?
Can I get one more Blake, and then I got to get one from Alec because Alec was on. Alec had a couple of good ones this week. Blake had a compliment for someone, I think.
I think you're large.
And then
he's not talking about
trying
me.
To figure out clothing sizes, I presume. Because he's talking about the shirt I got you. Maybe the shirt I got you was too big.
It was large. It was, but it fit. So.
And then Alec, we can't do this without bragging on you a little bit.
I want it in my mouth.
Okay. Oh my gosh, what is your favorite food?
Honestly, it's probably chicken.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Absolutely,
that's the way to go, man.
Yeah. I'm not just saying that because we're here. Like, this is the go-to spot for me, like, for any kind of big sporting event. So, yeah, I've even ordered takeout from B-Dubs numerous times. That used to be my my Super Bowl tradition. Mm-hmm. Was me and my dad would go pick some up every single year in high school. I think that was our big thing, was we would order way too much, and the fridge would just be stuffed full of the black and yellow boxes for like 3 days. And we're like, why do we do this every single year? We know we aren't going to finish the job, but we still do it every single year, and it's great.
From the 214, it's better that way because then you can just come home and go to bed. From the 214, that's Mr. Lame. Do That First here, it makes every night out so much better. And then from Black and Gold, he said, how about pregame and postgame for the date?
I like Black and Gold B.
There are a lot of options out there. Yeah, two's better than one. All right, huh. Alec, what are you voting for here?
I'm going to vote for Bobby talking about Lyndon B. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And I will also... I'm going to go ahead and shut this one down. It is Bobby and his recommendation for LBJ.
That's how.
Mm-hmm. That's, man, how.
That's
that how. Is how it's done. That's Masterpiece of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. And we have been the KNC Masterpiece. We're about to roll things over with the G-Bag Nation as we chit-chat with those fellas next on 105.3 The Fan.
It's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and the upcoming segment is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. They're the number one Chevy dealer in the world with more Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Relax and enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and Alec is currently guarding with his life the entry box for all the giveaways. We still have a few to give away before we turn things over to the G-Bag Nation. We'll do that right after this segment. But right now, brought to you by D&M Leasing, it is our crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation. Fellas, how are we doing today?
Excellent, Majors. How the heck are you?
Man, I'm making it right now. Can you do me a favor, Dawson, and just can you tell me, do we have the full G-Bag Nation with us today?
We do. Everybody is in attendance. I want to salute you, Majors. That was a very heartfelt discussion you had earlier.
Appreciate that, man.
You took us on a journey and in a ride, and man, I just feel for everything you have going on this afternoon, brother. If there's anything we can do, just let us know.
I thank you very much. It's been a little bit chaotic, as I told Spittle this morning. I was like, I think I need a vacation from my vacation. It's been a lot of extra work that we've been rocking out there, but we'll make it, man. You know, we've been through some tough times. We all have. I think every single one of us has gone through something tough. It's really awesome, though, to have family like you guys, family like the G-Bag Nation, family like Sean and RJ and the KNC Masterpiece and what we have at the station, because everybody's so supportive and strong. A lot of people that, if you're out there listening right now, this is a group of awesome dudes. We've been very lucky to work with them, travel with them, get to know them on a friendly basis as well as being able to work with them. So you guys, thank you so much, because I listen too. When I'm driving around, I'm listening to you guys. Y'all are cracking me up. Y'all are fighting each other, and I enjoy that stuff too. So from this morning when Jerry hopped on with us, did y'all happen to get an opportunity to hear Jerry talk? Did y'all glean anything from what Jerry said about McCarthy and the coaching staff this morning?
It made me lean more towards, I think McCarthy's going to be back. Just the way that Jerry was talking, it just doesn't seem like he's talking about a guy that he's prepared to move on from. You know, now that could be Jerry just talking, you know, and maybe he wants to let him down easy. Might not even fire him, as Brian suggested last night, you know. Might just let the contract run out and let him figure out when he should leave the building himself. So, you know, if the Jason Garrett ending was any indication, maybe that's how we'll go about it. But I just feel like Jerry has a strong appreciation for, you know, how those middle 3 years went.
Thinking he's coming back. That's kind of what my initial vibe was. But that can change in an hour. Heck, it can change. We talked to Steven at 5 o'clock today. But my feeling was, especially if Sunday has no impact on this, I kind of think maybe they're looking at just running this thing back. But who the heck knows?
I kind of feel like that Mike McCarthy needs to show Jerry that there's interest other than the Cowboys in him.
Interesting.
And I think that that's something that be very mindful of what we're going to start to see from Tom Pelissero and guys like that, maybe Jay Glazer. There's going to be a campaign that's going to push the narrative that Mike McCarthy as an offensive coach has options. And because there's a lot of defensive coaches that are out there right now hunting these jobs. So I would be very, very, you know, one thing I learned about working with Jerry as if he feels like that he has competition for you, he will make sure that he brings you back. He's done this with Will McClay. He's done this with others. You know, it's the minute that you start to show that, or somebody else shows interest in you, that's when Jerry and Steven get off their ass and think about getting stuff done.
And I'm right there with you, Broadus.
We might, this is, we get ready. I think this weekend we're going to start to, like I say, the Tom Pelissaros, the Jay Glazers, the folks that can, that move the needle when it comes to information. I think that we're going to see a little Mike McCarthy's Got Option campaigns. We've already seen a little bit of it here the last couple of days.
And you already saw it with Rappaport this morning. You know, he put out a piece about what the options are, and he's the one that kind of put out nationally the story that, you know, the 14th is when everybody's deals are going to expire with the staff. Yep. And he kind of snuck it in there in the last paragraph saying, hey, keep an eye on the New Orleans Saints. You know, the GM has a connection good relationship with them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You're already starting to see those seeds get to get planted. And whenever Jerry was kind of firm saying, you know, the hay's in the barn and he already knows what he knows, I'm thinking that, until somebody proves that this is Mike McCarthy is a commodity, and like you're saying, Broadus, not a lot of offensive minds out there this cycle. So once that gets proven, I think you see the gears start to turn. But right now, the way you haven't seen too much yet, I'm still at like a 5% that he comes back.
And I wonder with that, you know, some of the other things, do y'all feel like nationally McCarthy has more love than he does here locally? Like the Dallas fans just didn't get to see the benefit of having Mike McCarthy?
I think Mike McCarthy's done a really good job behind the scenes making himself available to these national media members. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a group of them that are very grateful that they have access to the head coach of the team that everybody cares about. So their stories look good. You know, their stories are well thought out. Their information's, you know, where it needs to be. So, yeah, I think the respect with the national media is really, really high. I think the guys and gals that cover this team respect Mike. I don't really know if they think that Mike is the best guy for this job.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's also interesting to get that kind of a personal relationship with them is a little bit different. Sean and RJ do a great job every Friday. They've built rapport with them over the last few years growing that.
Yeah, Bobby was right, though, this morning. Usually you can't get reflective Mike.
Right.
And Bobby asked the question, and there's clear tension between Bobby and Mike McCarthy.
clear
tension to the point where, you know, I think if Bobby sets foot in the Star, that is immediately like there's a scanner that goes off, you know.
Get him out of here.
You know, like, yeah. And then, like, now he's like on a high alert, you know, for the thing. But, yeah, I think that to me that with Mike, you know, they got him to reflect. They got him to kind of talk about his family and what it's meant to be here for him. But, listen, if it doesn't work out here, Mike will just pack up the guys and gals and head back to Wisconsin if he has to and, you know, and make life there.
I did want to also commend y'all. Great stuff with Jock Peterson earlier in the week.
He's a lot of fun.
That was a great interview. I really enjoyed that a lot. Hopefully we get to catch up with him when we all head out to spring training too, man.
Good dude.
What do you guys have coming up on the showgram today?
Pure Gold is always, Major. Yes. Thanks for asking. We will have Stephen Jones coming up at 5 o'clock. Nick Harris is going to join us at 3:20. And, of course, it's to What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday. So we'll be cracking them there at quitting time.
Really looking forward to it, guys. Y'all have a fantastic day. I'll be listening, driving home from Burleson. Really
likewise.
Looking forward to hearing it. And we will check in with you guys on Monday.
Love you. Salute.
There they go. They are the G-Bag Nation. One final shout-out here. This is from another napkin. Kevin, get better, and we hope you come back ASAP. Okay. Let's do this again next year. This is the beginning of something special. Dan, Steve, Zach, Guy, Allison, Beth, Ryan, Tate, my grandma Sharon, and I are behind you guys. Thank you, KNC Masterpiece, for everything. You guys are the best. Every journey is worth it, and I'm thankful for it all. Izzy, Abby, and Harley, I love you. Caitlin, you're amazing, and best believe this isn't the end. Tolo on. That is from Ricardo. Thank you so much. This has been an awesome tour that we've been able to do at Buffalo Wild Wings. Thanks to Miller Lite for getting us out here every single week for this. It's been a blast seeing y'all's faces, getting to see everybody, and getting to give all this stuff away, too, and take a load off together.
Oh, yes.
We will be back on Monday. You got the G-Bag Nation up next. Until then, you've been masterpieced.